is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are back here on this Wednesday edition of the Lombardi Line alongside three-time Super Bowl winning NFL strategist and executive Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni, holding it down here at Circa Resort and Casino. Michael out there on the East Coast as we welcome you back in. Plenty of NFL news and notes to continue to get to. We're going to have Michael's updated top five and bottom five teams in the NFL per his power rankings in a little bit. Plus, it's Wednesday, Michael, and you know what that means. At the end of the hour, a little Why Not Wednesday, hitting you with some long shots and seeing if you want to pull the trigger. We love it.
Why not?
The best.
Yeah. Why not? You got me, Stormy. The illusion. Nope. We got it. I'm good.
Okay. Good.
I got you there. Why not Wednesday?
I was gonna say we can't do this technical difficulties thing again, man. We can't do it.
Yeah. Starting the hour was never good. Anyway. Well, we can get the why nots in there, and I just was reading Lincoln Riley may not be able to coach this week because of an illness, so Cliff Kingsbury is going to have to come off the bench. But I thought that if you were a consultant that you couldn't be an on-the-field coach. How's that work, Stormy?
So I don't know. I'll have to read more up on this because you just brought this to my attention. I knew that he was leading practice and that Lincoln Riley missed his coach's show this week because he wasn't feeling well. But I got to be honest with you. I thought a lot of that was criticism-induced illness. I didn't know that he was actually sick. So I'm going to have to read more up on this in a little bit. But speaking to that, I don't know if you've looked at all at the line this week for their game against Cal, but Cal getting double digits in the spot. I wonder how motivated USC is in general after losing back-to-back weeks, their playoff hopes dashed. And, you know, even for the Pac-12 title, it seems like that's going out more and more out the window based on how well other teams are playing. So like, I wonder mentally how they're going to perform if this could be a good opportunity to grab a double digit dog in Cal.
Yeah, and it's only 10.5. I mean, think about it, right? I mean, it's only 10.5. The reality here is that whenever you don't have a good defense, whenever you don't play good defense, you never get control of a game. It's really almost impossible. And that's explains USC. And how interested is Caleb Williams going to be in playing in this game? I mean, doesn't he have a lot of things to do? I mean, he's going to have to vote on the tush push as an owner of a league team. He's going to have a lot of things to do here. I mean, I don't know how the hell he's going to do it. You know, why would he worry about Cal and the Golden Bears and Justin Wilcock when he's got things to concentrate on here? He's got expansion. He's got full-time referees. There's a lot on this man's plate he's got to handle.
Yeah, he's still got to figure out if he wants to play or not the rest of the season, right? Because that's a whole
nother
issue.
Well, he's
going to
own a team, so playing's no problem. I mean, everybody just said, oh, he wants to own a team. Like, okay, yeah, like, do we realize in the sport, like the NFL, there's a salary cap, so any dollar that goes in a direction has to come out? I mean, like, seriously, we're so stupid. I mean, people actually fall for this.
I love it. Honest. And so I know that Caleb Williams has gotten a lot of flack recently for, like, the way that he's made comments like that and a lot of his off the field just attitude maturity type stuff. But it's interesting that people last year when he was painting his nails and started doing the FU to teams on his nails, that didn't rub people the wrong way, but now he is because they're losing. I don't know. Yeah. It's an interesting thing. But neither here nor there, Michael. We will have a little more college football talk later on this hour. Harry Gagnon's going to join us. He's going to give out his cartoon Thursday night football pick as always, but it's got some college football, got some World Series plays as well that we're going to get into. But from one young quarterback to another one in the NFL, Michael, we got some news out of Indy. Compliments of owner Jim Irsay first tweeting yesterday that Anthony Richardson has officially completed surgery on his injured shoulder, so all went to plan. No surprises there, and his road to recovery begins. But he also tweeted Tuesday night that the NFL has admitted and understands that they did not make the right call at the end of this past Sunday's game with the Colts and Browns. And added, I believe we need to institute instant replay calls for all calls, including penalties in the last 2 minutes of all games. So first off, very unusual for a team owner to go public with an admission like that from the league. And then second of all, will that proposal get any traction, you think, that he's making a ploy for?
Well, I mean, it'll make the game go longer, which they don't want. But if, you know, I wish I had a basket full of all the apologies we got when I was in the league. I mean, you get them all the time. Oh, we're sorry, we missed that call. You're right. Okay. Well, what do you know? I'm going to get fired here, and you're going to just keep sending apology letters. I mean, like, what good does it do? Doesn't do any good. I mean, we knew it was a bad call when it was there. Like, to me, I don't think you, to me, you if you're running the crew, you go over and say, like, wasn't that ball uncatchable? Like, Inspector Gadget wasn't going to catch that pass. Look, I mean, one play never determines the outcome of a game. I got that. I mean, Steichen blew the first half at the end of it. But it doesn't hide the bad calls at the end of the game, you know, that you see constantly. Yep. That, you know, where was the hold? I didn't see the hold here. Or where was this? Like, they just invent things that come up. They think they see something, and then they throw the flag, and they don't want to not throw the flag. I mean, we see it constantly all the time. And, they hold people's careers in the palm of their hand, and then they write those lovely letters apologizing. And does Jim Irsay really feel any better about it? I doubt it.
Yeah, a loss is still a loss at the end of the day. Like, your apology isn't going to fix anything, but
it's not changing.
Yeah, exactly. But it's just the publicness of sharing the apology. I thought that there were, like, rules against doing that for teams.
Well, I mean, they don't want you to do that. They don't want they don't ever want you to admit they made a mistake. They want to be, you know, in back there and like the Wizard of Oz, pretending that they're perfect, you know. And they can even craft. I mean, look, there's a lot of novelists that write these releases in the league office. I mean, they can craft it so it sounds really good. But, you know, like we all know, it's a bad call. It's a bad call. We can see it. You know, and sometimes they make the right call. Sometimes they make a call that they have to. I mean, the face mask call in the Philadelphia game on Miami, they didn't make that call. I mean, that was as blatant as it gets, right?
Yeah, I mean,
you know, nobody's brought that up.
I'm working the Houston-Kansas State game this week, and Dana Holgorsen, I'm sure, would like a little bit more than an apology for where the spot was on that third down against Texas when they're driving and had an opportunity to win last week. So apologies aren't going to do a whole lot for anybody. But, Michael, some of the best things I've heard about that one specific ball that was uncatchable, although obviously not called that, was Dwight Clark with a ladder couldn't have got that ball, and Victor Wembanyama couldn't have gotten that. Those are my two favorites. I don't know if you've heard any good ones, but I love
Victor
that
one too. I don't think he would have gotten it either. I mean, how about the spot in the Rams game, in the Pittsburgh game? I mean, I know the Rams have nobody to blame but themselves because they ran out of timeouts and they wasted one, I think, earlier in the third quarter. But I mean, that was a horrendous spot. I don't know where they came up with that spot. But the Rams couldn't challenge it because they're out of timeouts and it was out before the 2-minute warning. It's just the inconsistencies. Like, when is the ball uncatchable? Like, we see so many penalties being called and we know the ball's not catchable. Well, then they revert it back to, well, it's defensive holding. Well, okay, you can't call defensive holding. Or how about when they get out of the pocket? And you're allowed to hit the receivers when you go out of the pocket, but then they call him for illegal. Well, he was still in the pocket. They've got 1,000 excuses that they could roll out at any moment.
Yeah. And I think that's why teams and fans get frustrated too, because so much is the human element. And in a world where we have cameras and 500 cameras at every single game with all of these different angles, it's hard to stomach when a call doesn't go your way and it's blatantly wrong and there's nothing that you can do about it. But that's the world we live in, unfortunately, in today's NFL and college football and all of the things. And we forge on and we get the wins that we want, that we get. And that's just the way that it is. There's more news and notes I want to get to that we didn't touch on in hour one, Michael. And I'm curious, because this again goes back to the league and making inquiries about certain things, the Bijan Robinson situation with the Atlanta Falcons this past week and how he had headache symptoms the night before, wasn't feeling great, got up, was hoping that he would be able to go for game time, obviously ended up playing very, very limited fashion, but the league is wondering why he wasn't on the injury report. Any extra insight that you can give us to what's going on there?
Well, I mean, it's always hard when a guy comes in, you know, and you're on these trips. You don't know if the guy comes in and he doesn't feel good and he's going to kind of get through it. It's a cold, you know, usually Friday is the last medical release. And, you know, you met with the TV broadcasting crew Saturday. You know, it was a road game for Atlanta and Tampa. So they probably met with them at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock. And I'm sure they didn't want to say anything at that point. So they're going to get fined for this. There's no doubt. You have to say something, especially considering that everybody at the stadium was wondering, where's Bijan? I mean, he averages 5 yards a carry. The other guy averages 3.2, and yet the other guy's getting all the carries. which was interesting too, because if it wasn't for Cordell Patterson coming back and running the football effectively and Ridder carrying the ball in the game, I mean, Algier averaged under 3 yards a carry in that game. So yeah, I definitely think they're going to get fined. You can't do that. You really can't.
Yeah. And I mean,
it's not as bad as the NBA though. Let's be clear. I mean, the NBA with their injury list, everybody's healthy. Oh no, Bradley Beal's got a cough. He's probably not going to play. Load management. Do you hear Barkley? He went off on load management already. You know, I mean, can you imagine we're starting the season in October and they're talking about load management already?
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, even like you see the minutes for LeBron James yesterday. So already, granted, he's much older and maybe he needs it for longevity throughout the course of the season. But seeing his minutes under 29, really? That's how we're starting the season? So that, yeah, very interesting from that standpoint, too. Bradley Beal, I don't think he had back tightness. Okay, give the man a break. He's expected to go on Thursday.
Yeah, I know he does. I'm not saying he doesn't. I'm just saying like it starts already. I don't get it.
No, I'm with you. As far as the Bijan Robinson stuff goes, if he was dealing with a migraine headache and he's prone to those, I do feel for the guy because anybody that has dealt with a migraine before knows that's brutal. And I can't imagine going into a football game and having somebody hit me while I'm feeling that way. It would not be fun. We're going to step aside here on the Lombardi Line, our first time out of hour two. Plenty more to get to here. But next, it'll be Harry Gagnon, former sportsbook supervisor, host of the Against All Odds podcast. We'll get his cartoon Thursday night football pick and a whole lot more. Keep it locked right here.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
With all four major sports in action, there's no better time of year to be a sports bettor. And with our new Sports Equinox special, there's no better time to be a VSiN Pro subscriber. Sign up now and get full VSiN Pro access to everything we do through May 1st for only $125. This includes daily best bets, unlimited access to our betting splits, plus all our exclusive betting content for the World Series, college football, the rest of this NFL season, March Madness, the NBA and NHL regular seasons, as well as the NFL draft coming up in the summer. You won't want to miss this limited time offer. Visit vsin.com/subscribe now to sign up. We've got all treats, no tricks. There will, however, be some picks in this Halloween-inspired cartoon. Michael, before we welcome in our guy, Harry Gagnon, let's see what he's got for Thursday Night Football.
Welcome to the first annual Harry Ween NFL Costume Contest. Looks like we have our first contestants. Who do we have here? Golf Spray, not bad. Beetle Juju Juice, love it. ACCD Lamb, nice. Now what do you guys say?
Pick or treat.
I'll give you guys a pick. Take the Bills to scare the Bucks and make Baker Mayfield's head spin like The Exorcist. And now here's a treat. Some homemade nachos. Happy Harry Ween, everyone, and keep cashing. Damn it. They toilet papered my house again. Good thing we're all out of toilet paper.
Happy Halloween. We've got picks or treat, and we've got the costume right now. The one and only Harry Gagnon joins the show. Welcome in, my friend.
What's up, guys? Happy happy Halloween, right? Yeah, absolutely.
Gosh, I love it.
Let's start it off. What have you seen from the Bills to think they're 8.5 point better than any team in this league right now? Harry, enlighten me.
Not a lot, Michael, and I know they're struggling, but they still are third in the NFL in scoring average, and Tampa Bay's dropped three of the last four. They produced just one touchdown in three of those last four games. Baker has interceptions in four straight. Buffalo still second in sacks and third in the league in picks. Tampa Bay has no running game either. White has gone for just over 40 yards twice in six games. I think this is a get-right game for Josh Allen and the Bills. Get the running game more involved. James Cook had 100 yards combined last week. I think this is a runaway for the Bills. I got Buffalo 31. Tampa Bay 13.
Okay, my only question is, what's the level of concern with this Bills defense? The injuries continue to pile up. That's my only concern with laying the big number, but you think they're going to roll no matter what?
Yeah, look, at losing Milano for the whole season and Tre'Davious White was a huge hit to this Bills defense, but still very good defensively. And I just think that Tampa Bay, just you look at them. Last week, they had no continuity whatsoever. They didn't the week before either. They just can't get things done on offense. They can't put it in the end zone. I'm going to go Buffalo. I'm going to lay the big number here.
You know, the thing is when you look at Buffalo and you break them down, they really struggle to stop the run. They've given up 5.3 yards per carry this year, which is significantly different than what they did last year. They were at 4.1. But I think a lot of this is cause and effect, right? So they haven't been able to play from in front the last 3 weeks, which has been problematic. They get behind against Jacksonville and London. They get behind against the Giants, and they get behind against New England, and they score 14 points. I mean, they have bailed themselves out, really. They have an 83-43 fourth quarter point differential, which I think really has helped them, and it lends it to support that they'll keep trying to score, because I think one thing McDermott knows, his defense is on the edge.
No, you're absolutely right, Michael, and I just think that this is the game. This is the type of game. I know it's Thursday night on the road, but still, I think this is a game where they just have to have this game, focus, get that running game, like I said, going. Don't put all the pressure on Josh Allen to get it done, and I think they should cruise in this game.
All right, I always love to hear the teaser of the week. Where are we going today, Harry?
Yeah, we had a nice one last week. We hit that teaser last week, so this is what we're going to do this week. I'm going to go first Monday night. Monday night, I'm going to take the Lions -8.5 down to -1.5 over the Raiders. McDaniels, it was awful to see what the Raiders, after, you know, somehow making it to 3-3. They were absolutely awful last week. McDaniels didn't have that team ready against a Division II quarterback. The Lions were due for a stinker after playing three of the last four games on the road. I think they get back at it. They put 30 points on the board, and they win this game against the Raiders. So at -8.5 down to -1.5 with the Cincinnati-San Francisco game under 45.5, push that to 52.5. Two very good defenses here. Cincinnati is 3-1 in the last four, but have only scored 20 points in just one of those games. San Francisco, two straight games under 20 points. Defense is locked down here in the red zone. More field goals than touchdowns. I'm going to go Cincy San Fran under 52.5 with the Lions -1.5 on a 7-point tease.
I like that. I like that one. I love how you can span the globe of betting here, Harry. It's impressive. You like Utah getting the 6.5 at home against Oregon.
Look, this is a no respect game. Yeah. This is the two-time defending Pac-12 champs getting disrespected here. They've won 18 in a row at home, Utah has. They only lost by 3 in Eugene last year to Oregon and held them to 20 points. And in 2021, they beat Oregon by 31 in the regular season, 28 in the Pac-12 championship. I know Cam Rising still hasn't played, but Bryson Barnes has fit in nicely, had his best game of the season last year. It seems like every quarterback does against USC last week, but still had a nice game with 3 touchdowns, getting 6.5 at home, number 13 ranked team in the country. Again, hasn't lost in 18 straight home appearances in Salt Lake City. Give me the Utes plus the 6.5, Michael.
Yeah, I think Rice-Eccles Stadium is one of the more underrated home field advantages. They have a great student section. They get after it. They get loud. I love that thought process. I would be crossing my fingers and hope maybe we could get a 7 out there as well, because then I would for sure fire. But I do like the six and a half. I feel comfortable with that number with Utah as well. And you know, Oregon playing some close games. But on the other side of that, I know you don't have a play in this game, but USC, we were talking about this earlier in the program. How are they mentally right now after losing 2 in a row? They lose that game to Utah despite, you know, going ahead late. And now Lincoln Riley's apparently sick and might not be available. He's missed the last couple days of practice too.
Always thought Lincoln Riley very overrated. He's never won anything. He has all this talent on offense, but hasn't won anything, hasn't done anything, goes to USC, and look what this team has done. We saw this at the beginning of the season when they gave up 28 to San Jose State on defense, when they gave up 28 to Arizona State, who couldn't score the previous two games. And like the 6 quarters in a row, they didn't score. We saw this USC defense falling apart, and now it's just been awful. I don't know how they get back and rebound here because, you know, Williams has fallen off the face of the earth in terms of the Heisman. He was like the favorite, and he was claiming stock in whatever NFL team drafted him. Now he's 100-1 to win the Heisman. I just don't like this USC team moving forward, and just their defense is so soft. You can't have them. You just can't take them.
Okay, so I know you live in Phoenix, and I know you're a big Diamondbacks fan. I'm sure you probably had the Diamondbacks ticket worth $1,750 to play the Rangers in the World Series, knowing you, Harry, but you were probably out of the country watching Springsteen. So you like the Diamondbacks to win this whole thing. Why not, right? Why stop here, right?
Why stop here, Michael? Exactly. You get them at like plus 150, 160 to win. In seven games, you can get them at like plus 600. I will say this first. Bruce Bochy has done a tremendous job in his first season after taking a three-year hiatus. Unbelievable. But the Snakes sound like a team that's just destiny-driven here. Gallen, Kelly, and Fott are solid three starters. Merrill Kelly had seven starts versus AL teams this year. All seven, he gave up three runs or less. Torey Lovello has this team rolling. I mean, you got Marino, Perdomo, those guys, role players. They've got five homers combined in the playoffs. Ketel Marte and Rookie of the Year Corbin Carroll, 37 hits. This team is unfazed in the playoffs. The middle relief, Kevin Ginkle and Paul Sewald, they gave up zero earned runs in the playoffs so far combined. I got the Snake Shock in the world in seven. You get, like I said, plus 607 and plus 150, 160 for the series.
I love it. And coming in the clutch on what we call a Why Not Wednesday here on the Lombardi Line. We got about 60 seconds left with you, Harry. But, okay, you got the winner. Who's going to take home MVP?
How about Ketel Marte? You can get him at like 10-1. He is on an incredible run. He's had 26 hits in 16 career playoff games. He's batting .358 in his postseason. Eight of his 19 hits are for extra bases. Marte was also hot versus Texas in the regular season. In four games versus the Rangers, by the way, Arizona was 3-1 against Texas in the regular season. Marte in four games against the Rangers was 6-14 this year. Three homers, five runs scored, five RBIs. Ketel Marte at 10-1. I'm losing my voice after going crazy about the Diamondbacks.
You're too excited. We don't have a voice anymore. Awesome. Harry, appreciate your time as always. You're the man.
Always, guys. Happy Halloween. See ya.
Happy Thanks, Halloween. Harry. Oh, yeah. With the hat to send us out. Make sure you check out the Against All Odds podcast. Does a great job over there on Twitter or X, as we're calling it now, at AAO Harry. And for a Diamondbacks team, Michael, that posted a negative run differential during the regular season, they are in the World Series, and Harry has them getting the dub going all the way home. We've got Michael Lombardi's top five and bottom five updated power rankings when we return.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Don't forget, on DraftKings Sportsbook this week, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code VEGAS when you sign up. That's V-E-G-A-S, DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. And Michael, ever since you brought up this Cliff Kingsbury thing, I am just going Twitter crazy right now as Lincoln Riley dealing with an illness right now. Obviously, hope the best for him from a health standpoint. Not fun to have to be held out the way that he is right now. But all of the Twitter response to USC in compliance, working on making Cliff Kingsbury an acting assistant. Kingsbury's going to backdoor his way into being the head coach at USC, isn't he? Like all these different things. You've made me go down a rabbit hole in commercial breaks. Thanks for that, Michael.
Yeah, well, I you know, just trying to do what I can do for you, Stormy. I mean, you're in that college football world. We got to figure it out. You know, I'm sure you were fully engaged. I mean, there's a lot going on in college. You know, it's always fascinating to see these teams and they hire these coaches and they pay so much money and then all of a sudden the expectations don't go where they are. You know, football hasn't changed since it started back at Ralph Hayes car dealership back in Canton, Ohio. It's a game of physicality, and we all fall in love with these offenses that can move the ball and do all these things, but the teams that win championships are the ones that play really well and play physically.
Another one of these tweets. Convinced this is just an elaborate ploy by Lincoln Riley to make someone else fire Alex Grinch. It just keeps getting better. But to your point about offenses, I think that's a good segue into your power rankings update in the NFL. And I know the Miami Dolphins have always been, you know, a big conversation topic as we go through these rankings because of the offensive production and the numbers that they put out there yet have consistently been held out of your top five. Now they're coming off of a rough performance this past week. And so where do things sit right now? We saw the 49ers drop a second straight game. The Eagles got back on track. The Ravens, I know from the eye test, keep getting better and better. I wonder where they are in your list. Yeah. So let's lay it out.
Well, I mean, look, it's not really complicated. Again, all my lists come straight from in terms of the numbers. I try to put there's no bias. It's just how do you rank? What do you do? The 18 categories that have a sense of winning. And obviously Kansas City has really played well over the last week. And the boost Kansas City gets is because of their defense, right? They moved the ball effectively last week against our man's defense. But, you know, the Eagles have gone up. I mean, the Eagles' numbers, the thing that's only stopping the Eagles are their turnovers. Hurts has turned the ball over more this year than he did last year. The Ravens are as good as any team in the league. The Niners didn't drop down as far as Munn might expect because, let's face it, the Niners are two plays away from being undefeated. Let's not forget that. And then the Cowboys slide down to five. We're going to find out how good the Cowboys are this week because the matchup against the Rams favors them. The Rams are a little bit like a bad team. Not a little bit, like they are. The longer the game goes, the more physicality, the more wear and tear, they don't have enough depth to hold up. And we saw Pittsburgh run the ball late in the game on them. And if Dallas can run the ball, that'll be a problem. And if Dallas can rush Stafford and create some problems. Look, I fully expect the first drive of that game, the Rams to be in the lead. But the longer the game goes, will the Cowboys wear them down? I think that's the question. That's why they're in our top five. As for some other teams, I mean, Miami, I think Jacksonville's a team moving up. Again, I've been all over Buffalo. I've paid a lot of it, done a lot of work the last 2 days on trying to figure out Buffalo out because they have been in my top, but they're not there anymore. You don't give up 5.3 yards rushing and be in the top five teams in the league. They have an elite quarterback. And if you really study the game against New England, it took a Herculean effort for him not to get tackled six times for sacks. It really did. And even Bills fans would admit it. And he turned those negative plays into positive. Not many quarterbacks can do that other than Allen and Mahomes and guys like that. So the Bills will always be a team that can beat anybody. But I'm just trying to caution our betting public to not go all in on them when it gets really high spreads because I don't know how good they really are as a total team.
Yeah, and it's three straight weeks now where we're seeing more and more of those warts show up with the various injuries and the issues, to your point, that they've had offensively outside of Josh Allen. And it's funny, Michael, because we talk about so many teams who their big issue is the quarterback position. And with the Buffalo Bills, it's the complete opposite. Like, they have the quarterback. They have the guy that can get you there. It's just the surrounding pieces are either injured or not working complementary like they need to right now. The other team that you bumped, you know who
Buffalo would be? If you took, Al Davis used to do this all the time. If you put Josh Allen on the Raiders team and you put Hoyer on Buffalo's team, that's the difference. You could say, well, you're crazy. No, they got Max Crosby. They got an elite pass rusher. They got an elite receiver, Davante Adams. They got an elite running back, right? They got some elite pieces, right? They don't have an elite quarterback. So everything they have doesn't look very good. Meanwhile, Buffalo has an elite quarterback and everybody thinks they're really good. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. Everybody thinks they're really good. The Raiders are no good. They're terrible. They are. They're not very good. Granted, they have some good, but they have no quarterback. Same thing if you put Allen on another team, put him on the Jets or put him on Tennessee. All of a sudden, the teams in it, put him on New England. Put Josh Allen on New England. What do you think that record is? We're having New England in a top five conversation.
It's a really interesting conversation. And meanwhile, another team that you bumped off of your list this week is the Detroit Lions, coming off that ugly performance against the Ravens. And we were talking not long ago about them being really competitive for that second best team in the NFC right now. And now they're out of your top five based on the numbers altogether.
Well, they are out of the top five, but they're still sixth. So they're right there. They're ahead of Buffalo, actually. Mm. They'll bounce back. I mean, look, they needed that. They needed to get their, they needed to get the dose of reality, and they needed to figure out how are they going to play against quarterbacks with movement, because that's something that's been a thorn in their side, whether it was the two games against Justin Fields last year or the 164 yards rushing that Buffalo got against them on Thanksgiving Day. So it's a great lesson. It's a powerful learning tool. It's one loss. I think people are overvaluing Minnesota based on what they did on Saturday, on Monday night, because when you peel back the layers of that game, the, you know, they easily could have lost that game if it wasn't for the blitz zero call at the end of the half. Cousins played as good as he can play, right? And they scored 22 points. As good as he can play, and they scored 22 points, and seven of them came from, you can call it a Hail Mary, but it wasn't, but it really was.
Yep. Also, while we're on the 49ers for a moment, I'm sure Robbie Gould is just like sitting at home, watching, laughing, like if you just paid up a little bit more, we'd be fine. But Jake Moody, like every time that he steps up to kick, Michael, I feel uncomfortable, but it is what it is. And that again,
yeah, I mean, and he's a great kicker, Stormy. He's a great kicker. And if they get rid of him, it's like Carlson. It's like Elliott. It's like all these great kickers in the league. They have to go through this. They have to go through it. I mean, look, you're talking to somebody. I wanted to fire Matt Stover so bad in 1991. I mean, we had signed him as a Plan B free agent from the Giants. Belichick knew him, and he was not good. And I wanted to fire him. And he got in his rookie year, and it was second year in the league, and he made a kick against the Bengals to win the game, and his career took off from that point forward. Moody's going to be the same way. You know, it's going to be the same way, because you just got to get through that point. You know, now where's like Brett Maher, who the Rams had to cut, that's a mental thing. He, you know, there's no way they could go forward with that. I think Moody will go forward, but you're right. You know, in this cap era, you've got to have to make some concessions, and they decided to make it at the most important, one of the most important positions, is kicker. They weren't anticipating kicking many field goals, I can tell you that.
Yeah, and we talk about that all the time, though, that the kicking game, very, very underrated part of, especially for us as bettors, what is winning and losing a game, winning and losing a bet. And so I hope that he gets through these growing pains, because it's been from the preseason to now. Also, last minute here, your bottom five teams. You have the Giants, Broncos, Raiders, Cardinals, and Bears. Interesting, the Panthers, who are the only winless team in the NFL and winless against the spread, not in your bottom five.
Yeah, they kind of got a break. I guess their numbers kind of got improved because some of these other teams got bad, you know. So I think I was doing on the Panthers. It's interesting. This will be only be the third home game for the Panthers this year. And their average margin of loss against teams on the road is 15.5. They've lost by a combined score of 15.5. Their average margin of loss at home is 5.5. They just haven't played a lot at home. They haven't played a lot of home games. They're a different team at home than they are on the road. And they're going against a Texans team that's probably overpriced right now. But when you look at them, for all the conversations about Texas, the Texans, about how great they are, you know, and what they've been able to do, their defense has allowed over 400 yards the last 2 weeks. You can throw the football effectively. So with Thomas George coming back into play here, what are they going to do? How will it work out? I think it'll be a fun game to watch.
Yeah, and we said it yesterday for the Carolina Panthers. This feels like their Super Bowl in week 8, where they're at a critical game and rookie quarterback on rookie quarterback going head to head out there at Bank of America Stadium in Carolina. We are going to step aside when we return. The one and only Why Not Wednesday. Can't wait to look at some of these long shots.
There we go.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next next bet, be sure to visit vsin.com to check out the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public's betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits, another way vsin's here to make you a more informed, better year round. You can check out those betting splits for every game at vsin.com. vsin.com, also where you can find our pro tips every single day, as it's time to get you ours here today on the Lombardi Line, and it's searchable on vsin.com by sport and by show. So if you want tips specifically from us and from Michael on the Lombardi Line, very easy to find. But we were just having a conversation before the break, Michael, about the Carolina Panthers, and you gave some interesting stats and nuggets of information of how they perform at home versus the road. And a very good tip, I think, for bettors to be aware of is specifically for bad teams. And we look at this Carolina team is 0-6 this year. They've really struggled much better at home than on the road. So it's important to look at those home versus road splits.
They've only played two home games. They've lost the four road games, right? And they've given up the margin of losses is 11 points in two games, 5.5. In the road games, it's 15.7. You know, they played the Saints in a close game at home. And remember, they played the Minnesota Vikings, who just beat the 49ers in a close game at home. They turned it over in that game, which got the Vikings the win and the cover. So the point here is, I believe bad offensive lines don't travel. And the Carolina Panthers are exhibit A of that statement. Their bad offensive line, when it goes on the road, they don't travel well. But at home, they can cover it up. And against a Texan team that, for all the conversation about them, and I think D'Amico's done a great job of coaching this team, and C.J. Stroud's been fabulous, they are not a just-going-to-stop-you defensively team. I mean, Carolina will move the football in this game, and if they don't turn it over, they're going to have a really good chance at covering, because the Texans aren't a dominating team by any means. I mean, the last 2 weeks, they benefited from the four turnovers. I mean, the Saints easily could have won that game with a red zone performance. Atlanta won their game and put 447 yards on them, but it was a close game and it shouldn't have been.
And you've got Carolina at least efforting to make some changes, letting Thomas Brown step in to call the plays instead of Frank Reich. And if I'm Bryce Young, I'm extremely motivated going into this game as well, taking on CJ Stroud, who you've heard all of the rumblings that your own coaches want to take this guy. Let's prove them wrong. Let's show how good I can be at this level. So all really, really good points, I think, about Carolina getting this opportunity at home in an important game against the Texans, trying to get their first win and first cover of the season. 0-5-1 ATS as well for the Carolina Panthers to this point. So maybe, just maybe, this is the week in the matchup that works for them. Again, vsin.com is where you can find our pro tips every single day. But now, Michael, and we're working on an open. We're going to get an open for this very soon, my friend. It's time for Why Not Wednesday. We are going to look at some plus money, some longer shot options, and see if it makes you want to turn your head and say why not. So we'll start in the NFL. With the Cincinnati Bengals, Michael, because I know that we are, like, all things are coming up roses for the Baltimore Ravens right now. We love what they are doing. But Cincinnati, slow start with an injured quarterback. All of a sudden, they've won three of their last four games. They're coming out of a bye this coming week. Got a good game against San Francisco. If they were to win that, can you imagine just how things are going to change up and how people are going to be talking about the Bengals moving forward? Could you say why not to a 25-1 Super Bowl ticket? Could the Bengals get it together and get there with Joe Burrow getting healthy?
I would say why not. Again, I don't think it can happen, but I would say why not, because I think this offensive line is problematic. I mean, look, you know, I don't have to tell anybody who had a Seattle ticket 2 weeks ago before the bye about how fortunate Cincinnati was to win that game and how their offense kind of stalled at the end of it. Now, everybody's going to assume they're healthy. They're going to go to San Francisco. They're a 5.5-point dog in San Francisco. I think it should be a little bit higher. It's not. But I just think, to me, they have some issues, but why not? I mean, they have a great quarterback, and when you have a great quarterback, as I've mentioned earlier in the show, as John Madden eloquently said, the great quarterback is a deodorant for everything else that's wrong with your team. And so why not?
I love it. Let's go to the NFC South. Or no, excuse me. Change my mind.
Okay.
We're going to go to the NFC North. All right. We're going to go North. Because we talked a lot yesterday about the Vikings, right? And how potentially the way that they're playing could be a playoff team, especially the way that things in the NFC shake out. I'm going to take it one step further. Could we say why not on the Minnesota Vikings putting it together to win the division and upset the hype train that has been the Detroit Lions?
Why not? One thing we know about the Vikings is that they can move the football. And the way Brian Flores is calling defense, he's creating havoc. Mark Twain has this great saying, you know, the greatest swordsman in the world doesn't fear the second best swordsman. He fears the unconventional swordsman, someone who's liable to do anything. That's Brian Flores right now. He's liable to do anything with the team. So they play at home. We saw the power of the home crowd the other night, how they were able to kind of help them along. Look, the Lions have to kind of maintain it. Can they win on the road? All those things. Why not? I don't expect it. I would be less likely with Minnesota than I was with Cincy going to the Super Bowl, but why not?
Okay. And again, this is a team that when they're 1-4, we're talking about where could they trade Kirk Cousins? Are they going to offload and start the rebuild now? But back-to-back wins, 3-4, gaining a little bit of momentum and a seemingly on paper easy schedule ahead. Interesting. But yeah, the Lions, obviously their in-season win total pretty high expectations for this team, 11.5, Vikings just 6.5, but I like the why not, the plus 550, baby. Let's get it going. Now in the wide receiving game, everybody's always talking about Tyreek Hill. He made the proclamation at the beginning of the season that he was going to have 2000 receiving yards this year. AJ Brown has entered the chat, Michael, and he is somebody that has come on. He has looked like a lot of fun, very dynamic playmaking ability. Could you say why not for him actually to be the guy to break the single season record? Plus 450 for him to go over that number.
Yeah, why not? I mean, he makes incredible plays down the field. He's for a guy that didn't run fast at the combine, who's not explosive at his 40 time, he gets down the field and he does it with power. He doesn't do it with innate speed. He does it with power. And then all jump ball situations, he wins. And he's got really, for anybody who wants to study receiver play, he's got really strong wrists. When the ball hits his hands, it stops. And so when he's got a 50-50 ball, it really favors him 90-10 because he's going to make the catch. So why not? I mean, he's playing at such a level that I don't know how John Robinson, the former general manager of the Titans, thought, I can get someone just like him in the first round. You can't. I think a lot of this comes back that when you draft a guy in the later rounds, you just never think he's as good as he is. This kid's really is.
Last five games, 137 yards, 131, 127, 175, 131. It's just every single week he's coming out there and delivering. He would need 1,965 to break the record, plus 450. Again, what that number is right now. Harry Gagnon came on the program. He is going with the hometown Arizona Diamondbacks to win the World Series, Michael, as an underdog. They've been winning as a dog the entire way from the wild card round to now. Can you say why not and take that plus 150, plus 160 price on the D-backs to get it done?
I mean, I would never say nothing bad about momentum. Momentum is one of the most powerful tools in all of sports. And the Diamondbacks have momentum and they have a belief. And the fact that they won two road games in Philadelphia is remarkable. Christopher Russo didn't think it would happen. You know, he's going to have to unretire now. I heard he's back.
Oh, wow. That's big news.
So I think, yeah, big news. I think to me, you know, why not, Stormy? What do you think?
There's no momentum like momentum, as you say, Michael. And granted, it's not the preseason price. And God bless you, whoever has one of those tickets on the Diamondbacks to win the World Series right now that you're sitting on. But I think it makes sense. And they've just continued to exceed expectations. And when everyone counts them out, why not, Michael? And that's the beauty of this segment. I'll hit you with one more real quickly. We got the world's largest outdoor cocktail party coming up. The Georgia Bulldogs and Florida Gators going head to head. It's a 14.5-point spread, but could the Gators maybe on the money line be the team that stops the undefeated streak for Georgia?
I don't think so, but I would sprinkle some pizza money on it. Why not? I mean, those games are unpredictable. And the way college football's gone this year, who can predict anything with a degree of certainty? Why not, Stormy? You know it.
I think somebody's going to do it. I don't know if it'll be Florida. I don't know if it'll be Missouri, but I think somebody's going to do it.
I do too.
Why not?
I do too.
A beautiful.
And we'll be here to cover it.
Yes, sir, we will. A beautiful edition of Why Not Wednesday. This is one of my favorite segments every week. We got some good ones. I can't wait for the open to come through. Great stuff as always, Michael. That's a wrap for us on the Lombardi Line. If you're watching on DraftKings Network, it'll be Pablo Torre coming up next. The Sharp Money Crew here on VSiN.